Chelsea Clinton joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline, and I really is a truly a super celebrity. I say it all the time. I never really mean it.
And this time, totally true.
Yeah, totally true. you're out on the campaign trail. We were in Des Moines a couple of weeks ago, as you were, with your dad and your mom and your kids and your pregnant self. Mm-hmm. And we saw you up on that stage. And I
was feeling for you, first of all.
I was too.
Having been there.
I've never been pregnant. This is taking a lot of stamina, right? I mean, are you enjoying being on the road?
Oh, well, Ro and Anna, thank you so much again for having me. And yes, I am quite pregnant and am the mother of an adorable, almost 17-month-old little girl named Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And it's partly because I'm a mom that I'm so passionate about this campaign. Not surprisingly, I was raised in a family where it was inevitable, I think, that I would believe that politics and who is running for office and holding office is hugely important. Mm-hmm. And yet now that I'm a mother, this election just feels that much more important because whomever we elect will play such a fundamental role in shaping the country, the world, the future that my children grow up in. So for me, kind of being a mom, being an expectant mom as well, is the main reason why I'm out working so hard for my mom in this campaign.
So it was interesting, though, that, and I want to go back to, we'll get to some of the campaign issues in a second, but I'm just fascinated by your role in this and how you perceive your role to be, because you're, like you said, you're a young mom, you've got, you're expectant. Your dad, it was amazing at that Lincoln High School
event in Iowa.
Your dad was talking about, you know, your daughter. And how Charlotte affects him, and you know how he's just concerned about all of that. I mean, is it fun having the toddler on the campaign trail? Does that take some of the pressure off of what's going on otherwise?
Well, admittedly, Iowa is the only state that Charlotte has been to, so I actually am traveling so much right now, in part because I don't want to be gone from her for too long. So I come back every few days to be able to spend some time with her. But I will say, I didn't know, and I've talked to my friends, and this seems to be a pretty common experience. I didn't know one of the great gifts that my becoming a parent would give me was seeing my parents as grandparents and understanding how they would have been with me as a baby or a toddler, because obviously I don't remember being a baby or being a toddler. And so seeing just how much they love her and how invested and interested they are in everything about her, whether it's making sure she always has on a clean diaper, to reading whatever story she's obsessed with at the moment, it's Chugga Chugga Choo Choo, has just been such a joy for me. And I'm so grateful to my daughter for giving me that.
They bring so much joy. I know your parents famously said they started reading the newspaper to you at a very young age, getting you engaged in the public world and policy and politics, and that you had written a letter to Ronald Reagan when you were six or something. I mean, how young is it that you think we should introduce kids, you know, get them involved, and what are your plans as a mom now?
Well, I read Charlotte the headlines when I'm home. I talk to her about kind of why I think it's so important to be out working so hard for her grandmother in this campaign. Because even though I know she doesn't really understand me yet, I think it's important to establish those patterns early of engaging our children and helping to inform and empower our children. And also, one of the greatest gifts my parents gave me was that I always felt included in what they were doing. And I always understood if they had to miss the rare family dinner or they had to travel, it was only because it was really important. And so when I have to be gone, I always tell Charlotte, well, you know, like tonight I'm going to South Carolina. And I was telling her this morning, you know, I'm going back to South Carolina because the primary is on Saturday and here's what I'm going to be talking about. And, you know, I mean, she looks at me and she sort of just giggles at me. So I know she doesn't quite understand yet, but getting into the habits.
You're starting early.
I think is really important. Yeah, to start early.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever want to do this?
Well, you know, it's probably not surprising, Ro, that one of my earliest memories is actually someone asking me that question. I think I was 3 or 4. My dad was running for re-election as governor, and I was waving an American flag on the side of a rally, because when you're 3 or 4, you can't do much more than wave an American flag. And a woman came up to me, and she said, you know, Chelsea, do you want to run for governor of Arkansas one day? And I think I said something like, you know, ma'am, I'm 3. but people have been asking me that question my whole life, and I think it's a question that should be asked of every young person. and not just someone whose last name is Clinton, whose father was president, whose mother's running to be president, because I think it's important that young people understand that the political process is a mechanism to make positive change and also, candidly, sometimes to stop bad things from happening, and that who runs and holds political office at every level is hugely important. And for me, you know, the short and long answer to your question right now is no, because I really like my city councilwoman, I like my mayor, my public advocate in New York City, I like my congresswoman, my senators, my governor, I'm a really big fan of President Obama's. So the people that I could vote directly for or whose offices I could run for, I feel like I'm really well represented. But if ever that's not true, then I'll have to think, like, do I have a vision for what I would do in this job? Do I have the right experiences and skills to then deliver on that vision? So I'm mindful of that, but right now the answer is no. But just to really now belabor the point, Ro, I hope that those are questions that young people are asking themselves, they're asking each other, that parents are asking young people, that you'll ask other people in interviews, because I do think it's important that we think about that.
Your mom would make history becoming the first female president, no question about that. If you look around the world and throughout history, there have been so many great female leaders and strong female leaders, Indira Gandhi, Golda Meir, you've got Aung San Suu Kyi, Angela Merkel. Right now in Europe, we've seen several women leaders, female leaders. But in the U.S., it has been this long. And as the year 2016, why did it take so long in your view? And why is there such an issue around this topic in this campaign even?
Well, I think the real issue comes when we look at the statistics. If we look at Congress, for example, less than 20% of Congress are women. If we look at states, most states have never had a woman governor. Clearly, we've never had a woman president. Most of our big cities have never had a woman mayor. And so it's clear that we're not being equally represented. It's the same if we look at kind of big foundations or we look at big companies, where we might have women working in government or working in the private sector or working in NGOs and foundations, but very rarely do we kind of break through to leadership positions. So I think it's important that we're aware of that reality so that we can start to change it. And I think it's hard for all of us to imagine what we can't see. And yet, you know, I'm supporting my mom so strongly as a woman, as a Democrat, as a citizen, because I think she would be by far the best president starting day one. But I'm also mindful of the history and of what it will mean to young women, particularly little girls, to have that ceiling broken, hopefully so that they can imagine themselves as president or as a governor, as a mayor, or as a leader not in the political sphere in whatever they feel called to do.
I know this is a last question, so and I wanted to be short, but it may be the longer answer for you, which is, what do you think your mom has to do to connect with those kind of angry change voters that are out there? Obviously, those are people supporting Bernie Sanders now or Donald Trump. And, you know, once you get into the general election, if it gets to that point, it's going to have to be some sort of address of those people. What do you think she needs to do?
Well, I think what someone has done is a good indication of what they will do. And I think if you look at my mom's record compared to anyone else running on either side of the aisle, she has a much stronger record as a change maker. You know, for looking at health care, no one disputes that she played an integral role in helping to create the Children's Health Insurance Program in the mid-1990s after her efforts for universal health care coverage failed spectacularly. The Children's Health Insurance Program covers more than 8 million low-income American kids. I mean, to me, that's what real change looks like. You know, she helped overhaul adoption out of the foster care system. There are now more than 80% more young people and kids adopted out of the foster care system every year because of work that she did. She helped double funding for early Head Start programs when she was in the Senate. And so if we think about our most vulnerable Americans, low-income children, young people that have too often been left out, left behind, or not even included, like those who have been too often trapped in the foster care system, she's the one who has a real record of making empowering, positive change. And it's certainly one of the reasons I'm so strongly supporting her. And I believe that when people really look at who has a record of delivering, they'll come to support my mom.
All right. I think everybody is surprised by this year. It's the wackiest year anybody's ever seen.
Who could have predicted?
All agree on that, can't we?
Well, I think if you look at history, we've always had contested primaries and open elections, so that's not surprising. And we've always had, if not always, at least often had strong characters. So I think it just feels unique to us because we're living it at this moment. But in the arc of American history, this is not that uncommon. But we're going to certainly keep making the case for my mom's candidacy in the Democratic primary and then hopefully in the general election, because I couldn't imagine a better president for my children or any child than my mom.
Chelsea, thanks so much. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Ro. Thank you, Anna. Thank you so much.
Good luck on the campaign trail.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.